Okay, my friends. So today we're actually celebrating something that has just started, and it's called the Passover. And we're doing a story for our friends who are celebrating the Passover. And today's story is called The Passover Guest. And it is written by Susan Kuzel and illustrated by Sean Rubin. And it is read today by Mommy and Chicka Boom Boom. And Chicka, oh, whoa, we have special guests today. Go ahead. Sharky.
Fishy.
Corny. Zeebe.
Army.
Raffy. Mm-hmm.
Uni.
Axie.
Ghosty.
And Paw.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are all of Philip's little buddies that are here with us today in the story. So hold on tight, guys, because we are going to go back in time to a long, long time ago, almost 100 years ago. You ready? Okay. Muriel loved Washington in the springtime. Now, she's talking Washington, not Washington State. No, Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. That is the... Do you know what that is? Do you know why? What Washington, D.C. is? Can you tell me? Okay, well, it's the capital of the country, the United States of America. Okay? It's where we find the president. The white buildings stood out crisply against the green lawns. The cherry trees burst into pink blossom at the tidal basin. She could feel Passover in the air. The year 1933 was different. Her father, like so many others, had lost his job. Her family didn't have enough to eat. Even on ordinary days, it would be impossible to buy all the food needed for their Passover Seder. And a Seder is a specific kind of ceremonial meal that you would have if you were Jewish. They didn't even have enough wine to fill the ceremonial cup for the prophet Elijah, who was said to have visited every Passover Seder. Okay, now here's something very interesting. As I'm reading this, I'm also reading that there are some men who are holding newspapers. And in their newspaper, they say, depression in fourth year. 100,000 crowd, tidal basin to see blossoms. New York milk strike, once more called off. Roosevelt to push job and home help. Okay, so these are newspaper titles. These are articles in the newspaper that they're reading about. That in this year, 1933, they had something called a depression. And what that means is that the country didn't have its economics. The money that people were spending wasn't doing what it needed to do. And people weren't using their money and weren't able to have money. So everyone was hungry. And things were not going well. Some countries have depressions more frequently, but they're never good. So there was no need to rush home to prepare the holiday feast. Muriel walked slowly from the park and stopped to look up at Lincoln on his magnificent marble chair. Now, in the picture we can see, this is actually a statue of Abraham Lincoln, and we read about his son, right? He was a president. He was the 16th president of the United States, and he had a statue made for him, and you can see it if you go to Washington, D.C. It's a great big statue. A figure dressed in rags, juggling on the steps of the monument, caught her eye. He looked as threadbare as the men on the street, waiting in line for soup. As she watched, his brown hair turned red. The eggs he juggled became blazing candles. His shabby clothes turned into those of the finest silk. Whoa, now that is a magic trick if there ever were one. Muriel was amazed. She took her only penny and put it in the hat at the man's feet. He smiled at her.
The sun is setting. Passover is about to start. You don't want to miss your Seder.
My family isn't having one this year,
Muriel answered.
Are you sure?
Asked the man.
Perhaps you'd better hurry home.
What? How would he know? Well, he sounded so confident that Muriel started walking quicker than she had ever before. She ignored the Washington Monument, gleaming in the fading sunlight. Now, the Washington Monument is another interesting thing that you can see in Washington, D.C. It's a super tall, pointy-looking thing that sticks straight up. They call it an obelisk. She rushed past the White House without a second glance. Gradually, the stately buildings began to recede. Ooh, that's a lot of big words all in a row. So gradually, the stately buildings, which means the buildings that were big and fancy looking, began to recede. That means they started to kind of go back away from her, and she was passing them up for smaller houses. When she got to her neighborhood, her stomach grumbled as she smelled the delicious food from other seders. The celebrations were smaller this year, but she could still see tables filled with food and windows shining with light. What could the man have meant? How could they have a feast without any food? Her feet went faster and faster. When she arrived home, she opened the door in anticipation, but she only saw the same shabby room with the spindly chairs and rickety table that had always been there. Her parents emerged from the shadows dressed in their best clothes for the holiday. Even though there was no food on the table, no gleaming silverware, no wine set aside for Elijah. Now, you might have heard that name before, Elijah. So in the Torah, which is the holy book for the Jewish people, or even in the Bible for the Christians, Elijah is a very important person. He was a prophet, and he could do wonderful miracles and did many wonderful miracles. And he was a sort of like the spokesman for God.
Every door will be open to us on Passover, said her father. Let us find another home where we can celebrate.
As Muriel reached for the door handle, there was a knock. When she opened it, she saw the mysterious stranger standing there.
May I join your Seder?
He asked.
You're welcome to share anything we have,
answered Muriel's father.
But this year, we have nothing.
I have everything we need, said the man.
What? Wonder what he has. Muriel turned and looked again at the room. It was no longer shabby, but glowing with light from countless candles. The chairs were piled with comfortable pillows, and the food. There were mountains of tender brisket, oceans of flavorful soup, and fields of crunchy matzah. Do you know what matzah is? It's a bread. It's a bread that's kind of a thin, it's unleavened, which means it's not fluffy bread. It's a flat bread. It's almost kind of, yeah, crunchy matzah. The magnificent Seder plate lay in the center of the table, complete with an egg, a shank bone, horseradish, parsley, lettuce, and carousette. And I'll explain to you why it needs to have those things here towards the end. Now, there was even a beautiful cup of wine for Elijah. Muriel hadn't realized how she was hungry, but now she wanted to eat everything, even the horseradish. Now, have you ever had horseradish before? Yeah, I think you kind of had a little lick of one, of some once and then said never again. It's a very sharp, spicy root. and it's, you know how garlic, or not garlic, ginger can look kind of knobbly, and it can have a very strong and very pungent flavor. Horseradish is kind of similar to that. Muriel and her parents couldn't believe their eyes. After seeing so little food for so long, their house was now bursting with it.
"Can this really be?" her mother asked. "How is this possible?"
her father asked. He sounded nervous.
"Everything is possible on Passover," answered the man.
Muriel could tell her parents were uneasy. She volunteered to ask the rabbi if they could proceed with this astonishing meal. Now, the rabbi is the person, is their holy person who's in charge of the whole group of people who go to their church or synagogue, okay? Like a pastor would be for a Christian, or a priest for a Catholic, or there's just lots of different kinds of names for people you might call, like, I guess, reverend, or nevertheless, this is the person who's in charge. So she ran to the synagogue, which is their church, and found the rabbi about to start his own Seder. She told him about their mysterious guest and how a magnificent feast had appeared from nowhere.
"If you can pour the wine and break the matzah, then what you have described is a true miracle," said the rabbi. "If you can pour the wine and break the matzah."
Remember how I told you matzah was like a thin, crispy bread?
Yeah.
So he says it's a miracle.
"Can you show me your Seder?"
Aha. So Muriel led the way, and the rabbi's curious guests followed. More people joined the procession as it passed other Seders. And when they reached Muriel's house, the crowd was enormous. But the stranger was no longer there. Everyone crowded into the tiny house. They all managed to fit inside as the rabbi examined the table. They watched as the wine poured itself, and then the middle matzah broke in two and became the ethikomen the children would look for later. And that's, yeah, that's, so an ethikomen, I believe, is how it's pronounced. It's, I'm trying to remember what that is. I feel like that's some game that is played when you have to go look for the bread for something. It's I know they break the bread and then you hide it and the children have to go and find it. And I think it's dessert for the children. Now let's keep reading. The rabbi picked up a piece of matzah, crumbled it in his hand, and then blessed the meal.
"This is not an illusion," he said, "but a Passover miracle. We may all enjoy this beautiful feast."
And there were enough chairs for all. Their own seders forgotten, the guests joined Muriel's family in their retelling of the story of Passover. They dipped their parsley in salt water and ate bitter herbs. And Muriel asked the four questions about Passover. All the children searched for the piece of hidden matzah. That's the one, which was found just before midnight. Mm-hmm. I was right. And then Muriel realized that in all their excitement, they had forgotten to open the door for Elijah. But when she looked at his cup, there was not a drop of wine in it. And now she knew who the mysterious stranger was. Because look, he left the penny behind for her.
It was Elijah.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is, there are miracles. The miracles happen every day to all sorts of different people. And in our world right now, there's so many struggles and sicknesses and money problems and all kinds of things. But the message of Passover, right, is that there is light in the darkness, that there can be hope found no matter what kind of dark, evil things are coming in our lives, that we can find hope and that our God rescues us. And I don't think anybody can have a problem with those
wonderful things, those joyful thoughts. You can't. Me neither.
And that is the end.
Thanks so much for listening to today's story. If you wanted to get a copy of this story, I have got a great tool I wanted to make you aware of. You can pop over to amazon.com/shop/storytimewithphilipandmommy, and you will see I've created a list for every month of the year, and in each list, I have put links for every story that we have read in that month. So you can easily find a link to the story so you can purchase it for yourself. And of course, this all goes to help support our podcast so we can get new materials. And of course, don't forget, you can also pick up your copy of the Storytime with Philip and Mommy book, The Sprightly Sprite and the Dragon Dragon. And of course, we always hope that you guys enjoy our stories. And we want to say thank you so much for listening.